Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing. This is a test. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
From an undisclosed location in the Nevada desert, this is Jennifer Morenci of WTF Radio. Welcome to Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe, with your master of ceremonies and master of debates, Rob. My teddy bears were stolen by a...
Oh my God, it's September something. That's right. We've got our little puppies. Hi, puppy. All right, so this is mic check, I guess. Although earlier I did the mic check and you guys weren't here yet. Let me see. Yeah, it's been months, right? You know what happened? I locked up the cafe and I cormoranted out of here. Anyway, now what happened? I don't know. I'm a lazy person and I shouldn't be in charge of anything. Ever. In fact, whoever put me in charge of this puppy has probably made a grave error. Alright, so what we were gonna do, and the reason the podcast came back... Oh yeah, by the way, season 2. Oh wait, we're not doing that. We're doing mic check. So, yeah, I think the mic works. Sure. Be back soon. Listen to the ad. Ciao. Hello, welcome to Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe. I've, renamed it. Also, it's season 2! Because it's been months, and, I basically got lazy and skipped a week, and then that just kept happening. And, anyway, also, you guys know there's no real cafe, right? There should be. There's no real cafe yet. You hear that? That's the dog. Oh, she's trying to lick me. Why is your eye so dirty? You're interfering with the introduction, Adelaide. You are a good one. As a good girl. All right, she's interfering with the introduction. So, actually, it sounded pretty good. I was going to apply the filter, but it sounded fine. Maybe it's the high-definition recording on the premium phone that someone loaned me. All right, where were we? Where were we indeed? Oh yeah, introduction, right. Hi, I'm Rob. Amazon calls me R. Wesley Edwards. I wrote a book a while ago. I'm in the middle of writing another book. It's in the same universe. There'll be 5 of those, by the way. So I'm halfway through, a third of the way through the second. And I'll read you like a prologue later. I'm calling it 00, like the thing that comes before the introduction. It's a family mystery. At least that's what the narrator calls it. And let me see. We were going to have a feature person. We were going to have a guest, an actual person who was going to read. But oh my goodness, she wrote a bunch of stuff. She was telling me some stories that she got from, I think, her grandmother. And she was gonna pepper that stuff in, I don't know. Anyway, then she disappeared for a couple days and it was too late for me to basically back out and be a lazy bastard that shouldn't be in charge of anything. Because I kind of told Instagram and Twitter that her podcast was coming back. And I also possessed it or whatever for Amazon podcasts. So I guess we're searchable. And I accidentally sort of in the process renamed it to Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe. So I suppose it can be searchable now on whatever platforms. Tell me if you search and you can't find it. You can either talk to me directly, Cormorant Hobo on Twitter, or Common Cormorant on Instagram, or just use the hashtag Cormie Cafe, or I don't know, just call me. You have my numbers. Maybe there'll be a Discord. You know what? I know you guys don't care, so there's not going to be a Discord. Where was I? Okay, so I'm showing my name. Podcast. Oh yeah, I was going to have a feature person, but she disappeared, and I was like, oh, well, maybe she wasn't. And I was getting kind of on. And then I just got a message. She's been ill. So I said, yeah, whenever, it's fine. Don't feel pressure to submit to the podcast with an audience of pretty much me checking that the upload was correct. All right, so you guys have your hymnals, your, let's see what's this lesbian poetry book called. Adelaide, get the damn hymnal. Hymnal, where's the hymnal? The fucking hymnal's missing. Son of a hymnal. Where is the hymnal? Adelaide, I blame you for this hymnal missing crap. Oh, that's a battery. There are batteries. Little boxes. Where the hell's the hymnal, buddy? Oh, this is bogus. Hymnal's supposed to be in this box. Oh, here it is. I found it. I got it. All right. So you guys have to have your... Oh my gosh, my hymnal got damaged. Son of a bitch. God damn it. This is why we can't have nice things. Also, I live in my car and everything is just a big pile. All right, so here's the thing. In case you guys haven't actually listened to season one, how dare you? In case you haven't, my girl. She thinks, I'm not mad, Addie. It's, I'm playing. So I convinced the dog. Anyway, all right, so this is called The Key to Everything, Classic Lesbian Love Poems, edited by Jerry Gomez Perlberg. There are no hyphens in that. That's just the person's name, and it's Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y. In case you want to order your own copy, I have one. It's exactly the size and shape of a hymnal. It's very nice. So The Key to Everything, Classic Lesbian Love Poems, is the hymnal. And I will read from it sporadically. This first episode of season two, what else? Did we already have the ad? Fuck me. So there was Mic Check, which I upload for posterity, and there's this, which is just me rambling on. So I'm gonna read you guys something stupid. Okay, so I'm gonna read you guys the prologue, whatever, for Macmillan the Magician. And actually, that one's very rough. It occurred to me that I have to make a couple of really tiny changes. It won't change the story or the feel, but the narrator refers to the character as Macmillan when she should refer to him as Daedalus or Daedalus or however Icarus's dad's name is pronounced. So I can just copy paste the spelling. The pronunciation is, fuck me, I don't know the pronunciation. I don't speak Greek or something. Anyway, Daedalus, Daedalus, D-A-E, never mind how it's spelled. So anyway, so I'll read that. I'll read a couple of these lesbian poems. I'll leave a spot that I'll say stuff like, feel better to the would-be contributor. But she's the, you guys can thank her or blame her, because she kind of gave me a kick in the pants, as it were, that got the podcast restarted. And so I drove to the marina. So here I am at the marina. So the fake cafe is the Forest Green CRV parked at the Sunset Aquatic Marina here in... Actually, I don't know if it's in Seal Beach. I thought it was in Huntington Beach, but I'm getting weird feedback. All right, well, this has been annoying and stupid and long. So I'll go. And then we'll come back and we'll read some lesbian love poems. Maybe I'll start from page 21 for no reason. And let me see, then I'll read 00, which is what I'm calling that prologue for Macmillan. And then I'll read another lesbian poem. And, I also have to, I guess I'll do that here. I made some kind of a mistake. I'm not actually sure what that was, but I seem to have really, really misplaced our fake co-host. So I'm not sure if we're not going to have one this week. The WTF news break, the little 3-minute comedy clips, because, well, I think I made Morency pissed off. She sort of soft blocked me on Twitter, and she removed herself from the DM chat we used to coordinate. And I'm afraid that what happened was I blame Twitter, because she replied to a tweet. The only thing I can think of that I may have done to piss her off was she replied to a tweet, and then I replied to her, but I was trying to be funny. I'm like, I only do things to make you laugh, kind of my normal. And she removed her tweet, but she replied to me, but her tweet was not, oh God, you know, don't reply to me in public or something. I'm the tar on your shoe that you don't want people to know about. But no, she was like, you know, quiet little boy or something like that. I forgot what she said. And then I don't know what I said, but I thought I was trying to make her laugh. Anyway, like I said, so I guess we're experiencing a WTF shortage, which, given the normal nature of this podcast, is kind of ironic. Anyway, like I said, this has been long. Oh my God, 10 minutes. Close to 10 minutes. 9.5 minutes. All right, well, let's get this show on the road. Season 2! Woo! Episode 1. I told you guys I'm Rob, right? All right, so we'll go to page 21 in our hymnal and see what we see. Somehow I mark the page with the little slip from Amazon, the packy slip. Let's go to page 21, see what we see. Page 16, page 22. Oh, it's a two-pager. It's from someone called Christos, Christos. All right, so poem, page 21. You get your hymnal? If you don't, then you're just going to have to listen to it as though I'm just talking. It says, I like a woman who packs. You know what? I may have read this one to you guys before, but that's too bad, because it's episode 1 of season 2, and I don't think that there's not 201 pages, so you get stuck with 21. I like a woman who packs. Not because she wants to be a man, because she knows I want a butch. Who can loop my wrist with leather, whisper, stay right here, I have something I need to do to you. Who can smile wide when I ask her to dance because I've noticed the bulge in her pants. Tells me to come back for a slow number because she doesn't do fast. I like a woman who'll make me beg her for it. Ride me till I forget my name, the date, the president, prime minister, and every head of state. I like to sashay down the street a bit with her watching my legs and breasts and ass, while I watch her hands and mouth and the neighbors gasp. I like a woman who can make me over into whatever she wants as long as she wants, wet and hungry to my heart. I like it when she grabs my hair, says, don't move until I tell you. I like a woman who packs, stands behind me in a crowded room, leaning into my back, whispers in my ear, hey, you gonna give it up to me? I like her tall or short, heavy or slim, walking or riding a chair, brown or pink, old or young. I like a woman who can take me under when she takes me over. Then let me suck her, get in trouble, snap her gloves. I like a woman who wants to be the best fuck I've ever had. I like a woman who snacks. All right, well, that's all. I probably ruined it with the voices.
This place is dangerous.
All right, so originally this was going to be the beginning of Act 3, and it was going to be Chapter 10, The Legend, with the super title being Defy Entropy, Deify Entropy. But I've since figured out that it's really wrong to put it there, because it's in the middle of the book if it's put there. It's at the end of the first half, because it's going to be 1-2-3 acts, and then the second half 1-2-3 acts, just like Tisma. So I put it at the beginning before the introduction, and it's going to be called 00. So it'll be literally Z-E-R-O space Z-E-R-O colon space The Legend. The super title will probably be the same, or it'll say something like In the Beginning or something. Anyway, all right. What else can I tell you about this? Well, if you haven't, now would be a good time to go back to episode 9 of last season. And if you listen to it all the way through to the end of the season and skip the bonus episodes, you will have this whole Macmillan, at least as far as I've written it so far. And somewhat rough, but edited a little version. All right, enjoy. Act 3, Family Mysteries. Supertitle is Defy Entropy, Deify Entropy. Chapter 10, The Legend, or 00 Prologue, The Legend. Part 1 is called Scaffold. Oh, this is really short, by the way. Scarrow, the old one, sat in a stool which, if scaled down and placed among her work things, would have escaped scrutiny by his granddaughter. She would have taken it for a pincushion. Long he sat, staring at the forever-burning crystals protected from the faraway stellar radiation by lead-impregnated, cobalt-tinted, and diamond-etched Orion glass. Scarrow shifted on his stool and flexed his long fingers, still scarred blue-green hands. His breathing, controlled to a degree unknown by others of his or any kind, caught in a moment of time and thought. And he saw it. And it was suddenly all so obvious. Moving in quick, abrupt bursts, motion after all these dozens of years, almost a foreigner to him, or maybe only indirectly known. Like one of young Merlin, the great grandchild's friends, punctuated by moments and moments of absolute stillness, Scarrow crossed the room to the shelves, and climbing with the agility his people were always and forever known for, up he went to the section containing the few remaining empty notebooks. Scarrow climbed and stopped and climbed and stopped and climbed and slept until at last he reached his destination. It was near the ceiling and past all the writings of all the great ancestors of his and every family of his and every race forever and from the beginning of time. With great care and the agility of the young, he removed an empty notebook bound with the once supple flesh of a philosopher of some renown from a long-extinct species of philosophers. He dropped back to the floor and resumed his pincushion in the same quickness and stops as all this motion had been, and, by the light of the dead stars of his ancestors, using ink pilfered from the wisest of his species, which he had infused with his own blood and powdered cadmium, wrote upon all the pages of the retrieved notebooks, the formula, it's plural, formulae, which bound their incalculable energy to his own lizard DNA. It is not known how long he scratched his metallic blood ink, but all the many pages were filled, front and back, with tiny, close-packed glyphs and arcane prescriptions. Thus was produced the Great Spellbook. which was, as you certainly know, long ago lost within one of the infinite folds of time, or it is yet another subject with which my grandfather cannot be trusted. And then, whence the pages were filled and the inkwell nearly dry, Scaro, apparently intentionally, broke the Orion glass with abrupt flicks of his marble-like nails and instantaneously turned to ash and fine black gravel in a flash of the gray-blue hue of the death of the universe and himself, but he had defeated entropy. The oxygen of his study made especially quick work of the lanterns, which, too, died, rendering the enormous private library a formless void to behold. This second section is called The First. Merlin, 8 or 10, but not 6 or 12, years old, entered Scaro's library, the study, in the moments after, looking in on his great-grandfather. The room was dark, darker than usual, darker than a claustrophobic starless night under a blanket made of the vile hearts of jealous orphans, or perhaps only their ruined and selfish dreams. He'd come looking for the old one, for Scaro, for great-grandpa, or the thoughtful one, but found the room empty and dark, like the dreamless sleep of his own elusive death. But the dust made him question everything, so his mind and eyes and heart were open. This final ingredient. All illumination, though, both figurative and literal, was evading this quiet, thoughtful place. Two, the dust caused Merlin to involuntarily hold his breath. His nictitating membranes closed tight as well, further reducing his sight, but perhaps not his vision. Perhaps not his vision. He called out for the old man, but then choked and croaked, so held his tongue and breath again. It would have been his last breath, too. There was a flicker, and Merlin did see it, no matter what that old liar will tell you. Only a little, though. And only from the corner of his eye. So he turned, and the explosion which followed caught him full force and head on. He lost consciousness. His breathing resumed. He inhaled deeply of Scaro's irradiated ashes, and before the cells of his lungs and throat were burned, snuffing him out like a forgotten dream, he recovered fully and became the first immortal. My God, I think I'm the best. Oh, sorry. You know what? Fuck it. I think I'm a good writer. You guys can kiss my ass. You think you're a better fucking writer? You should get in touch with me and we can, you can send me something and I'll read it for you, or you can email me a recording of yourself reading it. Until then, I'm the best writer. So that's what you get for not volunteering your work to the podcast. Insults. All right, so this is the outro for that, which the final name is now 00. So yeah, and I actually started another chapter, so maybe we can work on that. It might be two parts, so it might actually pull us through to the the third episode of this season 2. Won't that be a gem to have some actual content to share with? What did Anchor tell me? The what was that? What was what do you call it? Analytics? They estimated that there might be an audience of eight people. And I have no idea now. It's been months. You guys have probably all unsubscribed because you thought that I stopped doing it, which I freaking did. But we're back. We're back, baby. Alright, so if this was just a normal episode instead of the first episode of season 2, it would have been the 20th episode. So why don't we jump back in the hymnal to... Oh, we can't do that because page 20 is the same... Oh, no, it isn't. Page 20 is an untitled poem from someone named Marilyn Hacker. And it says, all right, you guys have your hymnals, page 20. So the same page as before, but the other side. So Marilyn Hacker, didn't Sappho say her guts clutched up like this before a face suddenly numinous? Her eyes watered, knees melted. Did she lactate again? Milk brought down by a girl's kiss? It's documented torrents are unloosed by such events as recently produced. Not the wish, but the need to consume in us. One pint of Malox, one of Kaopectate. My eyes and groin are permanently swollen. I'm alternatingly brilliant and witless and sleepless. Bed is just a swamp to roll in. Although I'd cream my jeans touching your breast. Sweetheart, it isn't lust. It's all the rest of what I want with you. That scares me shitless. All right, well, thank you, Marilyn Hacker, and people who haven't tried to sue me for reading from copyrighted works. No, I'm doing a selfless thing, and I'm promoting your book. People should buy The Key to Everything: Classic Lesbian Love Poems, edited by Jerry Gomez Perlberg. It is the hymnal of the open mic night at the Cormorant Cafe, as you guys no doubt know. All right, I gotta find something else to read, perhaps, since our feature reader person has, she's been not feeling well. But perhaps she will get me something to either read on her behalf. I think her name is Dawn. Certainly is an evening. Anyway, so what's going to happen is, I think we'll include her stuff next week. Hopefully she'll feel better. Dawn. Let me see. I'll read something. Maybe I'll give you guys a brief little something. I don't know. I'll read something. I was gonna read something, I don't know. What should I do? I guess 20 minutes isn't too short for the return episode. I'm really sad. I really didn't want to piss off Morrency. Anyway, you pricks don't want to come up and read things. Maybe I'll read another one of the hymnal book. What do you guys like? Periods of stress or jealousy? I know, you guys are jealousy. We'll do jealousy. Naomi Raplansky, and this is called Jealousy. It's 4 lines. Jealousy. From 500 miles away, jealousy can hear the crumpling of a pillow beneath 2 heads. That's on page 42, by the way. Should have probably said that first. All right, now switch to page 41, and we'll read Periods of Stress by Irina Kepfiz, and that will be all until next week. And but next week, we have there's a new chapter for the Macmillan the Magician, and I don't know. I'm about halfway through writing it. And so I have to finish that, and I have to edit it, and so I'll type it into say Google Docs or whatever, and that's kind of a revision moment. So I can take it from handwritten to typed, so I can fix stuff. And it also gives me a chance to review it and make sure that it's self-consistent. And then I usually reread it, and that gives me another editing moment. So I find typos. And of course, as you guys will know, if you've listened to the other season, I'll probably find more typos when I'm reading it out loud. Anyway, here's Periods of Stress by Irina Klepfiz. It's K-L-E-P-F-I-S-Z. It's on page 41 of the hymnal. And it is one page. But there's a lot of weird formatting looking stuff. And I'm afraid I can't duplicate that with my voice. But you just go with it. Go with it. Periods of Stress. It is unwise during periods of stress to change. I'm sorry, Irina. Starting over. Okay. Page 41 of the hymnal, Irina Klepfiz, Periods of Stress. It is unwise during periods of stress or change to formulate new theories. Case in point. When about to begin a new love affair without having ended the previous one, do not maintain that more freedom is required for the full expression of individual personality, or that various lifestyles are possible, and all kinds of interesting situations still need to be explored. Try instead. I am tired. Tired of the nearness. This small apartment of the watering can and the level of the window shade. I prefer to drift toward more spacious rooms, toward intimate restaurants and dimly lit unfamiliar beds. New love techniques. But do not throw me out. I am too frightened to venture out alone. Let me stay until I am secure again, somewhere else, and then leave me alone. That person's a little bit entitled. Okay. All right. Well, good night. I hope you enjoyed the return. I should call it that. I should call it the return of Open Mic Night. I redid some of the default art on the podcast page because my joy in life is making those little, so I find these little pictures, they're in the same library that you're allowed to use on the Anchor app. You're allowed to use pictures from a certain picture library for the logos or whatever they're called for the individual episodes, and as a default for the whole podcast. And so I take those pictures and then I add text to them and some filters, and I post that stuff to IG, Instagram, and also Twitter sometimes. And especially if they're not square, I post them to Twitter as well. And anyway, so yeah, my joy in life is making those little ad pictures. And I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm not even lying. All right, well, 25-ish minutes, I guess. All right, well, good night. It's been fun. None of you want to read anything? Last chance. Last call. I'm going to stand here staring at you. All right. This has been Open Mic Night at the Cormorant Cafe, Season 2, Episode 1. I've been Rob. We don't have a WTF anymore. And I am very sorry to you and to Jennifer and to myself, because I somehow messed it up. And I'm not entirely sure what I did. All right. Good night again. Bye. Nope. Still, nobody wants to read. All right. That's all. The fat lady is saying, oh, speaking of fat lady, God, I gained a bunch of weight. So I tried Coke Zero the other day, and I tried Diet Coke today for the first time. It's really horrible. So I may just be happy being fat and drink Dr. Pepper like a normal person. Thank you.
I am reality's whore!